And welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayen Deng Bior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Wednesday, December 25th, 2019. A Christmas message for South Sudanese from the Council of Churches.
Maybe this Christmas, I want to ask every South Sudanese to celebrate Christmas like work and consolidating that peace. Anything we could do to make sure that peace truly will be born with Christ, let us do it.
And President Salva Kiir recently fired six officers.
The robbers were arrested and then they released one of the main robbers who was under their care. Then investigation was launched and then they were found guilty.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Bishops in South Sudan are urging the public during this Christmas season to pray for peace and reconciliation in South Sudan, for the leaders to resume dialogue on pending issues with an aim of reaching a solution to allow peaceful coexistence among the communities. Winnie Torino reports for VOA from Juba.
In a letter signed by heads of the Catholic Church, Episcopal Church of South Sudan, Presbyterian Church of South Sudan and Sudan, Sudan Pentecostal Church, and the South Sudan Council of Churches, church leaders wish South Sudanese a Merry Christmas, but also says an outdated model of development has resulted in societal and environmental decline in South Sudan. The religious leaders urge people to focus on the sign of the child Jesus and to recognize him in the faces of little children and people of South Sudan. The letter says Jesus is seen in the faces of the children and people of South Sudan who continue to suffer because of growing tensions in the implementation of the peace deal and because of the recent floods which has caused hunger and the spread of diseases. The bishops urge the public to pray for peace, healing, forgiveness and reconciliation for South Sudan and for the will to resume dialogue and find solutions on issues of concern. Bishop Eduardo Hiboro, Bishop of Tombora Diocese and President of Sudan and South Sudan Bishops Conference, says he hopes South Sudanese celebrate this year's Christmas in peace.
Maybe this Christmas, I want to ask every South Sudanese to celebrate Christmas like work and consolidating that peace. Anything we could do to make sure that peace truly will be born with Christ, let us do it. Whether it's eating, celebrating, dancing, buying new, whatever, please do it in the interest of the peace in our country.
Some Juba residents say they are excited to travel and celebrate this Christmas with loved ones outside of Juba. 59-year-old Josephine Awata says she will travel to her village to celebrate Christmas with her community.
All the clan are gathering together and we are going to sit together, we discuss. Then on the 25th of December, we are going to the church in the morning. After church, then we are coming to gather in our house because all the clan will come to our house. And then we slaughter the goat for the celebrations. We make some white stuff for drinking. And we are going to buy the sweet for the children who are coming to visit us. Then we the elders, we are playing our old song and we are dancing, we are beating the drums and so on.
40-year-old Kade Doris says she will travel to Kampala for Christmas to be with her children. She says she will prepare special dishes for the festive season.
What I'm intend to do is to prepare what I've not been preparing so that people enjoy. We go out with my children, we relax, we eat, celebrate and go to church and so forth.
The bishop's letter says Jesus knows well the pain of not having a house or a home and how hard it is not to have a place to lay one's head. May our hearts not be closed as they were in the homes of the Bethlehem. Let us pray together with Prophet Habakkuk in his complaint that said, "How long, O Lord, must we call for help? The law has become paralyzed and there is no justice in the courts, yet we will rejoice in the Lord." For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
President Salva Kiir recently dismissed six officers from National Police Service by a presidential decree. A South Sudan National Police Service spokesman says the officers were accused of engaging in criminal activities in Gudele, a western suburb in Juba. Onan Walter Solomon has the details for VOA from Juba.
Daniel Justin Bwolo, the South Sudan National Police Service spokesperson, announced the presidential decree when all regular forces assembled at National Police Headquarters in Bulook on Wednesday to receive instructions on keeping the peace during the Christmas and New Year's celebrations. Justin listed the names of the officials who were sacked by the president.
Number one, Captain William Deng Aleo Deng. Number two, First LT Rajab Amin Lebe. Number three, First LT Kiir Agot Akol. Number four, Second LT Benson Manyang Ler. Number five, Second LT Chut Chol Chut Bol. Number six, Sergeant Major Nicola Daniel Ushala.
Section 34G and a part of Section 41 of the South Sudan Police Service Act 2009 states that an officer's service shall be terminated if the officer is convicted of a crime related to honor, trust, and honesty. The presidential decree did not specify which crimes committed by each of the six officers, but Justin says the officers were accused of conniving with and releasing convicted criminals involved in armed robberies.
The robbers were arrested and then they released one of the main robbers who was under their care. Then investigation was launched and then they were found guilty. The decision of all this was from the president.
David Hokochuli Lemony, director of military intelligence for combat operations, urged all men and women in uniform to demonstrate discipline when exercising their duties. Speaking both in English and Arabic, Okoshuli want officers to behave professionally at all times while on duty or face the consequences.
Don't add anything to the instruction you are getting from here, because always whenever you are sent to provide protection, you go and do something else and also cooperate among you forces.
Cooperation among you forces.
Abraham Kuole, a political analyst and an assistant professor of political science at the University of Juba, says the decree is a good step toward rebuilding people's confidence in the police force, fire brigades, the army, and national security services. Kuole says the decree also will help deter criminal activity among men and women in uniform.
In Juba nowadays, different security agencies are interfering into other people's work. For example, you could see even when you move in the evening, the national security, the SSPDF are interfering into the police work by asking for the licenses of the vehicles, which is not always their mandate. And if they want to do that, then all the traffic police should be together with these people so that people know that the people are doing the right thing but not interfering into other people's work.
Last month, President Kiir dismissed former Army General Stephen Bwoy from duty after a court-martial found him guilty of treason. For VOA News, I am Onan Walter Solomon in Juba.
Tears of joy flowed after two children were reunited with their family in Juba, 2 years after they were abducted in December 2017 from their house. Their father says he fears such attacks will continue if authorities do not do something to deter the abductions. Onan Walter Solomon reports for VOA from Juba.
25-year-old Father Richard Langoya, a resident of Shirikat, a suburb south of Juba, sits on a chair behind his children who are seated with their uncle, holding a certificate of appreciation for the Jubek State Gender, Child and Social Welfare Ministry for the kind gesture, support and care for their two minors. The appreciation includes 25 plastic chairs. Langoya could not conceal his joy to see his children beside him.
I need the children to be near me. I'm now very happy. I don't know what am I going to talk even. Even I don't know how am I going to tell commissioner of Boma State.
Langoya says his five-year-old daughter Lamono Irwin was three, and 10-year-old Anzoa Joseph Richard, his son, was eight when the two were abducted in 2017.
At night, two people came in my house. They saw me. Then they took two children from me. They took the children up to Boma State for 2 years and 2 months.
Boma State is of the country's 32 states, a home to Murule people, with two counties, Pibor and Pochala, Pibor being the state capital. Lengoa says his friend told him that his children were rescued from their abductors and brought to Juba Orphanage Center. Lengoa says he went to the center and found his children. Then he informed the center's administration.
The time I came here, I got the children, I talked in the office. Then they bring a girl. Then they took the girl from me, they took somewhere. They brought all the boys. Then the boys came direct up to me, said, "This is our father." Then those people in the office told me to go home to bring my wife plus the neva and the Boma chief.
Lengoa says bringing his wife, neighbors, and even the Boma chief was not enough evidence the children were his. The orphanage administration asked him to bring all the required letters from police authorities. He said he had to work for 6 months to get money, to get the paperwork completed. 40-year-old David Rob Luyona, deputy chairman of Acholi community in South Sudan in Lobone Payam, where Lengoa hails from, witnessed the family reunification. He says a preliminary investigation showed that the abduction of the children was planned by a suspected Lengoa's neighbor. A distance from Juba to Boma State is 387 kilometers and takes about 78 hours for one to walk on foot through Bor. Lengoa says the children trekked for several days via Badingilo National Park through thickets to reach Boma State.
They move on the way, even his leg is swollen. And then the lady, they're just putting on back. Even they don't have any food for eating on the way. When they get people with cutting trees, they sit there down, then take the plow from those people, they mix with the water without the cooking. Then they give them, they eat those things on the way until they went up to Boma. Footing, without car, without anything. That is the boy telling me like that.
Lengoa says he is happy the ordeal is over.
The boy tell me the time we is there in Boma, they didn't do anything bad to them. They just lock them inside the house. Even no one coming to see them. Even they cannot come out. Only just Yao Yao. Yao Yao is the one who take them from that house to give them here in Juba.
Lengoa says the Boma State Governor Yao Yao brought the children and handed them over to the Juba Orphanage Center. He says while in Boma, his children had learned the Morule native language, forgot their Acholi language, but now can speak in Juba Arabic. He appeals to Yao Yao to do more to prevent more child abductions. The center is now a home to 20 girls and 38 boys, where Irwin and her brother Joseph received psychosocial support before they were reunited with their families, according to Abdul Azu, the supervisor of the Juba orphanage. Azu says social workers sensitize the community to end child abductions. Governor Yao Yao's phone was busy despite several attempts and did not respond to text messages after agreeing to explain how he rescued the abducted children. For VOA News, I am Onan Walter Solomon in Juba.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Weather on the African continent is getting more and more extreme. Find out why when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
does your name have a special meaning? A joke has a special meaning. James is a biblical name, definitely was picked from the Bible, but a joke represents my cultural identity. A joke is means some small god, that means I have some small power in me or something unique in me that other kids don't have.
Gonza. For us in our language, Gonza means happiness. I was given it to my dad because he liked it. He liked my grandmom who was called Gonza.
My name is Eunice, very special. Actually, Eunice means good victory. It means unique. It means nice. So, actually, my name just defines the whole of me.
Lumumba means lion. Six lions. You understand? That is the meaning of my name.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. As the earth heats up, weather and climate patterns are changing dramatically around the globe. Africa felt the effect of those changes in 2019, experiencing cyclones, droughts, and unstoppable rains that jeopardize livelihoods. From Nairobi, Raoul Lambo reports on what lies ahead for the continent.
62-year-old David Kimboi sowed dry maize stalks on his 21-hectare farm in Kenya's Trans Nzoia County. Kimboi turns the stalks of what could have been a bountiful harvest into silage for feeding his 15 herd of cattle. He says the heavy rains that have rocked different parts of Eastern Africa caused the crops to fail.
At a time of growing crops, we expected an optimum yield, like we had invested heavily in all the groups that we grew. But unfortunately, we were not able to get a good harvest out of all that, which means a lot of money was just thrown into the docks, and we didn't get anything out of that. And we do not expect to get anything elsewhere other than from this land, and because we depend on rain-fed agriculture.
Trans Nzoia County, where Kimboi settled after retirement in 2017, is known for growing predominantly maize, Kenya's staple food. Apart from the excessive rain, farmers in the area have faced pests and disease challenges.
Every time we go to harvest the maize, there is rain. And this maize, when rain don't, it gets wet and it gets spoiled very quickly. That when there's adverse effects in growing of maize and also in beans. Beans, the first crop was, we didn't have any harvest at all. It all went bad because of these heavy rains.
Millions of people have been displaced as a result of widespread flooding this year across large parts of Somalia, Kenya, Uganda, South Sudan and Ethiopia. The floods have led to hundreds of deaths. In November, South Sudan declared a state of emergency in 27 affected areas, with close to 1 million people affected. The Kenya Meteorological Department attributes the rain to an irregularity known as Indian Ocean Dipole, an oscillation of surface temperatures of the sea, which brings weather extremes to countries neighboring the Indian Ocean. Bernard Chanzu is the deputy director of Kenya's Meteorological Services. He says nearly all of Kenya has received above average rainfall this year.
In some stations, I can quote like Meru stations, we have seen records which are showing that what has been received is more than 200% of the long-term average. That is what is usually received in the area.
With the levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere climbing to new heights, John Recher, a scientist specializing in climate and agriculture research, says Africans can expect more extremes in years to come.
We will therefore have more effects of climate change affecting the weather patterns, specifically the rainfall patterns. The climate change will be more intense, and therefore the climate variability that is having these extreme events and of the drought and the floods will be more frequent and even more intense going into the future.
The solution for Kimboi and other farmers, according to experts like Recha, lie on adapting to climate change. That, he says, would require help from government and agencies to implement new agricultural practices, such as alternative irrigation methods and efficient water storage for farmers. Raya Lumbur, for VOA News, Transoia, Kenya.
We turn to South Africa now, where Malawian migrant workers are estimated at 100,000 or more, driven there by low incomes at home and the prospect of better jobs abroad. A European Union-sponsored project is trying to reduce the number of Malawians leaving the country and encouraging migrants to return by offering job training for self-employed. Lamek Messina has this report from Blantyre.
After years of struggling to feed his family, Taylor Jeffrey Panga went to South Africa in 2012 in search of better paid work. But like many Malawian migrant workers, his five-year stay in Johannesburg did not go as well as he had hoped. He says, for the first 3 years, my working pattern was on and off. I couldn't find a proper job. Things did not work as expected. In 2016, Panga's employers at a state high school found out he was undocumented and fired him, along with six other illegal Malawians working as cleaners. Instead of struggling for work in South Africa, he returned home and started his own business, thanks to a project run by the International Organization for Migration. Nana Amaja Poma Opon is projects officer for IOM.
The target is for 500 Malawi nationals to be received back home. At the moment, we've received 426, and we've been able to assist 241 with their livelihood projects.
The European Union-funded project helps migrant workers stranded in South Africa return home and get job training in poultry farming and other trades. The project helped Panga open a tailoring shop in Blanta, where he also trains others like him. He says, I don't have plans to migrate. That's why I am making sure to find a means to earn a living. This is because the owner of the place has been there. So he tells us about how good and bad of going abroad. Xenophobic attacks this year in South Africa spurred some Malawians to return home, but an estimated 100,000 or more are still working in the country. Despite steady economic growth, Malawi remains one of the world's poorest countries, with about 80% of people limited to working on farms. Hudson Mankwala is the chief director in the Malawi Ministry of Homeland Security.
You know, there is the problem of unemployment. It's everywhere, but back in Malawi, we still have a lot of youth, even graduates from colleges. They can't get jobs.
While the IOM project is helping to expand the range of jobs, Malawi officials say they are also founding community, technical, and training colleges. Their success will be measured by the number of Malawians who stay in the country or return home to make a living. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blanta.
A brutal one-handed form of boxing in Nigeria, known as dambe, is gaining popularity, even though it has left some fighters with multiple injuries and, in some cases, led to their deaths. Despite the dangers, Nigeria's sports ministry says it is considering promoting dambe as a national sport. Timothy Obiezu has more from Nasarawa near Abuja, where a boxer died recently.
Crowds are gathering at this field near Abuja, known in the Hausa language as Gidan Dambe, or boxing house, to watch a big fight. It's being held to honor a boxer who spent years promoting dambe, a native and brutal form of boxing where one fist is used to strike an opponent and the other one as a shield. Tournament officials crowned boxer Maman Bashir as boxing king.
Honestly speaking, he's my son. I introduce him to the business and I point him myself that will be a good ambassador with time. And now he fulfilled his promise by trying his best to make sure that cultural promotion, especially Dembe, is being promoted in the whole country.
No one knows when traditional boxing started in Nigeria, but it has been in existence for more than 100 years. Unlike in standard boxing, local fighters don't wear protective gear to shield the face and body, raising serious concerns. 2 years ago, a young boxer claimed about a score of his friends died from their injuries from Dembe boxing. Nakede Bako's brother, popularly known as Mijaji, suffered injuries to his head and leg during a fight and died in July 2018.
I was hurt by his death, especially because he left his wife and children behind. I will never get to see him again.
But officials of Nigeria Local Boxing League say boxers are aware of the dangers involved and are appropriately compensated in cases of casualties.
The risks in traditional boxing is the boxers are aware that there is a punch they will give you and you can die. So definitely they have taken it into their mind that they want to do it.
Last Wednesday, another boxer died here in this venue. But despite these concerns, fighters are recruited to join every week.
For me, there's no quitting Dembe. I will continue to fight until the day that God takes me.
Officials of the Nigerian Local Boxing League say they are now introducing medical teams during a match to care for any injuries that may arise. Last week, Nigeria's sports ministry said plans are underway to adopt Dembe as a national sport. Timothy Obiezu for VOA News, Nasarawa.
And that's our show for this Wednesday. We leave you with the song Banda by Dismajos. We've been listening to Dismajos with the song Banda. I'm Ayen Deng Bior in Washington. Thanks for listening. Have a joyous holiday and join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Kirisi atuko kina ilu lor kongoli tan ikonye adiki sanga lalelio na dara na kanya na ngomba ingaji kuliati manya ingaji mukana dengi murek monya kamino ingina manya mumulo kado adi aju ilo monya salome kisanga utaworo kumanya ikiko.
Kanga manya urani Wadena dinan geleng Bokonda geni Basokola nit Yakulota Mubunu kikiran Mubunu kikiran